Roll call.
Roll call for Friday, January 11th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Oh, he's excused.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Ross.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Veit.
Today I'd like to offer you a prayer. I always like to include this, attributed to St. Francis, who was passionate about what he stood for, so much so they said only the animals listened to him. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, approval, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January the 10th, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. There is no doctor or nurse for the day. We're on a roll, aren't we? So, thought for the day is good judgment comes from experience. And a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Will Rogers. Reports from Standing Committee.
January the 10th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural State Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 31, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 11th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 8, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, O2, Barnard, Cole, Landon, Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman. January the 11th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 104, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, O2, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman. January the 10th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 30, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28. Senators Case, Emmerich, Peterson, Von Fladen, Senator Peterson, Chairman. January the 10th, 2013. Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 64, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28. Emmerich and Peterson, noes. Senators Case and Von Fladen, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, Senate File 104 has an appropriations on it. I would request that it be re-referred to Committee Number 2. This is Education State Administration.
Senate File 104 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2 without objection. Bills on second reading. Senate File 3, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 3, State Oil and Gas Supervisor Qualifications.
Senate File 3, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 10, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 10, Supreme Court Decisions and Session Laws.
Senate File 10, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 12, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 12, Child Support Payment Procedures.
Senate File 12, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 23, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 23, Challenge Loan Program Natural Gas Vehicle Infrastructure.
There is an amendment, it appears. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 23, second reading amendment number 1, page 4, line 22 and 23, delete.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 23. I believe the clerk's already read that in. So, Mr. President, what this does is delete the part of the bill that says that there shall be no interest accrue on the loan for the first 2 years. And it still allows the interest to be deferred for 2 years with no payment, but it instructs the process to include that all the deferred interest during the first 2 years of the loan term accrue to the principal balance. Mr. President, the reason I bring this is because this is essentially a legislative designated investment. It's to essentially hold the process harmless, so we'll get the 4% that by statute in the challenge loan program is required. 4%, I think, is a pretty good shake even in today's low interest rate environment for loans that essentially in a business venture that has no income, has customers, and is hoping that over a two-year time period that income and those customers can be developed. And I think this is a reasonable compromise to the process that's before us, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Hines?
I guess speaking against the amendment, as I understand the purpose of this interim bill was then to help for a couple of years for these businesses to get started and defer the interest, give them interest free. And by adding it on later, it may create problems, as I would say, for them, kind of do away with the benefit of that part of the bill. So I think at this point it would be better just to leave the bill as the committee had worked on and set it up.
Further discussion? I'm sorry. I thought you were still down at the governor's office. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would urge support of this amendment. I think we ought to think about why we have this bill and who we're trying to help. It would seem to me that the folks that when I drive around and I see gas stations right now, I look at those big signs and I think about where that gasoline comes from and I think about the companies that own those big signs and who's giving gas. And I think about, wow, is there a shortage of capital in this industry? Are they having a hard time raising money? I don't think so. Those look like pretty big players to me. So I take it one step further, Mr. President, and I think, well, who's going to be likely involved in the natural gas fueling business when this business takes off? And I'm looking around, I'm thinking what some of those likelies are going to be. They could be major oil and gas companies. They might be some of the same folks that have those signs that I'm seeing as I go around the state. And I'm wondering, wow, those people probably don't have a shortage of capital, Mr. President. What we have right now is probably a shortage of demand. But I'm not sure that it's really the government's job to come at this and say, well, since you have a hard time raising money, we're going to make it easier for you to borrow money from us, from the taxpayers of the state of Wyoming, because you obviously are poor and can't make this happen, so it'd be better if we didn't charge you interest. And it's not measuring up. There's no shortage of capital. There's no shortage of access to capital. Why would we give it away? At least let's defer it as this amendment does. Please support it.
Further discussion. Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I think we've got to think about what we're trying to do here. Compressed natural gas is relatively new. We're trying to incentivize it. We all know the benefits of compressed natural gas. But think about some of us poor folk up in the northwest corner of the state. Way up there. We have to incentivize people to come in and develop these fueling stations if we're going to have any continuity in how you're able to purchase compressed natural gas across the state. The good senator from Johnson County, I remember last year, was on his feet more than once. Talked about driving across the country on I-80. And you can drive it and you hit the Wyoming border and there's no continuity on compressed natural gas as you cross the state. All we're trying to do with this bill, and the Joint Minerals Committee worked hard on this bill, is to incentivize it. Think about the school districts. Think about anybody that wants to make that huge investment of a conversion. This can save $1,000 a year to an average consumer if they have a vehicle with compressed natural gas. So I'd urge that you reject the amendment, leave the bill the way it is. Let's put some continuity into the compressed natural gas that we're trying to incentivize here.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll just take a minute. My community's a little different, maybe not so isolated as the basin might be. We're right next door in the midst of an emerging oil-gas play. It would be good, I think, within my community if we could, and speaking in opposition to the amendment, you've heard the terms incentivizing and promoting and whatnot. Within our community, it would be good if we could, in fact, incentivize it so we could use some of the gas that's coming into what we hope is a significant oil play. But in order to get to the oil, we have to deal with the gas. And I think in order to incentivize that, if we could somehow use that in not only the vehicles that are being used within the industry, but also with the vehicles that we have at the school district, and then, and I'm not expert in all this compressed natural gas, liquid natural gas, but with being at the edge of a railroad and the coal fields and other things, there is certainly opportunity to use what I would call stranded gas. In other words, we have a gas compression, gas processing plant, but I have to tell you, it's hard to put in all the infrastructure and then get that gas out there and market it online. So if we could somehow use this in a vehicular market to utilize some of the stranded gas that we have, I think that it would be a great benefit not only to us, my community, but also to the state and to the industry, and it's an emerging industry that we want to, again, incentivize and to promote. So, again, I would urge your resistance to the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Cooper. Mr. President, rise in opposition of the amendment. Also, as was mentioned here several times now, is that the committee did work hard on this, and this was one of the things that was discussed at length. But we also have to understand that there's a lot of independents that operate across the state here in the fueling business, not necessarily small mom-and-pop operations, but small independent chains that could certainly use this, and this would incentivize them, hard for me to say, right, incentivize them to also encourage them to get into this business of the natural compressed gas business. And this is one of the things that the committee was concerned about, too, not just the large businesses out there, but also some of the smaller chains. So just keep that in mind, too, when you're thinking about how this incentivizes them. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Burns?
Mr. President, I'm ambivalent on the bill. On the amendment, what I've heard from those speaking against the amendment is a defense of the bill. I'm frankly not hearing an argument against the amendment. And that's what I would like to hear. If the amendment's a bad idea, why is the amendment a bad idea? I don't need to hear another defense of the bill. That'll be coming up tomorrow on third reading.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At least for my argument, the only one that I probably could defend, my argument revolves around the whole idea of incentivizing. Do you want to incentivize or do you not want to incentivize? This seems to be just a small measure in that direction, so that would be the crux of my argument. Thank you.
Any further discussion before the sponsor gets his second time? Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think there's a great deal of incentive left in the bill with the amendment because we haven't done anything with the deferment of principal or interest for 2 years. So it allows these businesses to spend $1 million, put in a pumping station, has to be used for public purposes in the Challenge Loan Program. Can't necessarily be captivated only in a county situation or a school situation. It has to be used for public purposes. And if they opened it up to the public, then yes, a public entity could utilize that. One point, Mr. President. The other point is that we're just making sure that the state is made whole in this process to the extent of 4%. So you're talking about on $1 million loan, which a person probably can't get anyplace else because it's not bankable. And that's the incentive, that you're giving an unbankable loan to a person that wants to put in a fueling station. That's a huge incentive. But we're asking that 4% or $40,000 a year, $80,000, be put on the end of the loan. And if the business is a viable entity, deferring that payment is not going to hinder them in making a decision to place these fueling stations any place where the traffic patterns and after his market analysis makes a determination that it would be successful. So, Mr. President, I don't believe we're hindering the incentive, the spirit of the bill, but it is making the state whole, and it's not a total giveaway program with the amendment. I think it strikes a fair compromise and preserves the intent of the bill, Mr. President.
Motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 23. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment is passed. Senate File 23, having been read to... Senator Hines.
Mr. President, to clarify, I wasn't clear and I had to do some checking on a question that came up on the debate yesterday on the... It was referring to the constitutionality of the bill about giving funds to private businesses. In 1986, we passed an amendment, the state of Wyoming passed an amendment to the Constitution, and it says, notwithstanding this Article 3, Section 36, which is a prohibition to giving money to a private business. And within that amendment, we said that then it was okay with the approval of the legislature to provide a revolving investment fund to be used to promote and aid the economic development of the state. And we have been doing this fairly consistent in this economic loan fund. Within that, there's also the question that the funds needed to be approved by both the House and the Senate on a two-thirds vote. This money, I believe, was in the budget, and the House adopted it 54-6, and the Senate adopted it 25-5. So that should clear up that, whether you agree with the basic principle or not, it is approved and can be done. The other question that came up, I believe, was on the last page of the bill there about subsection A does not apply, and that was when we were talking about loans to communities or state development organization. They are not restricted to those. These can be for any type business, so they can go either way. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hines. Senate File 23 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 24, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 24, Partnership Challenge Loan Program Interest Rate.
Senate File 24 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 73, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 73, Unemployment Insurance Federal Compliance.
Senate File 73, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are that order of business, bills, consideration of bills on general file.
A couple of announcements before we go into the general file. First of all, with respect to photographs, if this is the last day to get your photographs taken, so I hope all of you have done it, or you'll get down and get your photographs taken for the composite today. No exceptions. The second thing I'd like to bring up is that on Monday we'll be voting on the rule changes for the ensuing or for this session. You'll receive a table because on the regular rules, they've been reorganized with the same language. So there are four or five changes the Rules Committee agreed to. We'll go over that. Then there's a reorganization of rules, same language. Like I say, it was an effort by the staff to organize these rules together. That text won't, we were going to put out a table showing the old rule, new rule. But if you want to see the actual reorder and recodifying before you vote, because they will not be distributed on Monday, simply go in and ask our staff attorney, Mark Quiner, for a copy, and he'll give it to you. So if that gives you greater comfort that you actually want to see the reorganized text, which has been prepared, please just go ask him for a full draft. If you're comfortable voting simply on the table that shows old section and new section, then you don't need to do that. But the idea was not to circulate a bunch of more paper when it's simply a table accomplishes that. So it's your personal comfort level, but if you want to see the text, please ask. With that in mind, Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Well, that motion has been carried. Senator Peterson, will you please approach the desk?
May the whole come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 33. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 33, Search and Rescue Program Donation, sponsored by the Travel Committee, an act relating to search and rescue fees. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 33, Search and Rescue Program Donations. There is a standing committee amendment, and for an explanation of the bill, I would ask that you call on the good senator from beneath the shadow of Devil's Tower.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman Burns, Senate File 33 is a bill that deals with search and rescue program donations, and search and rescue program has been a highly effective voluntary donation program in the state of Wyoming that allows sportsmen's, RV people, snowmobilers, hunters to voluntarily contribute into a fund to affect search and rescues. It allows sheriff's office, counties, other rescue organizations to recoup costs when we go out in the woods to do it. What this bill does is the existing statutes only allow for a $1 donation. This allows the donation to go to $2 and higher if they would like, but ask for a $2 donation. It also, in the past, we have not had the ability to take fees from non-resident snowmobilers or some of the off-road vehicles, and this allows them to be also involved underneath the new statutes. I'd like to emphasize this is voluntary, does not involve spending out of the state funds. With that, I will stand for questions.
Question.
Amendment. I would refer for explanation on the amendment to the chairman, or committee chairman Burns.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, it was, I would move committee of the whole amendment, I'm sorry, standing committee amendment number one to Senate file 33. And, Mr. Chairman, it was remarked during testimony on the bill that in the bill, the requested donation would be $2, and in the original bill would be any greater whole dollar amount. That would actually restrict somebody from saying keep the change, which might be $2.50 or something like that. So all we simply did was remove the term whole dollar so it could be any amount in, or any portion of any dollar, too.
Senator Burns, we'll let the reader read that amendment in.
Senate File 33, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 16.
Mr. Chairman, would you like me to move it again?
No.
Okay.
That's fine.
Would you need me to do anything else?
You've explained the amendment.
I think I did that.
You did.
Okay.
I'll just sit down, Mr. Chairman.
Question on the amendment.
Aye.
Call for the question. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment of the Whole, Amendment Number 3, to Senate File 33, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment carries. Back on the bill. Question on the bill. All those in favor? Find out where I'm at here. What's that? Oh. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion of Senate File 33, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That bill has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next Senate file for consideration is Senate File 41. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 41, State Parks ATM Donations, sponsored by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Senate file. What's your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 41, State Parks ATM Donations. There is a standing committee amendment, and to discuss both the bill and the standing committee amendment, I would ask that you call on the senator who lives further north than any other senator in this body. That's me.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, we in looking at various ways to fund different agencies of the government, a number of the agencies that TRW deals with, frankly, can become a little problematic simply because a lot of these agencies are not viewed as being as necessary to the welfare of, say, the poor, such as Department of Health or Education or so forth. So sometimes we have to think outside the box in trying to come up with ideas for getting money to these agencies, and this bill is one of those ideas. And what it simply does is it authorizes the State Parks Department to be able to contract with various institutions, financial institutions, that run ATM machines to be able to give for those using ATM machines to voluntarily donate money through the ATMs to state parks. The whole thing's voluntary. In the bill, it allows, and it would be for the operation and maintenance of the of state parks. If you look on the bottom, on line 18, 17 and 18 of page 2, this would also allow for the ATM operators to keep up to 10% of the proceeds from these donations for their own accounting purposes and for the programming needs for the ATMs and so forth. Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee amendment takes place on page 3, line 9, and it changes from a may to a shall, and that is frankly to keep the rest of the bill consistent. All this money will go to the operation and maintenance of state parks. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move the Standing Committee Amendment.
Reading clerk will read in the Standing Committee Amendment.
Senate File 41, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 9.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask for if there are any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment. If not, I would ask for a vote on it.
All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment of the whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 41, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Amendment passes. Back on the bill.
Back on the bill, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this be open for any questions. I'll just remind the body that all these donations, any donations, would be strictly voluntary.
Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senate File 41, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 41 passes the Committee of the Whole. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 43. Reading clerk will please read in the Senate file.
Senate File 43, State Park Acquisition of Lands, sponsored by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on a Senate File 43, State Parks Acquisition of Lands. There are no Standing Committee amendments. And for a further explanation of the bill, I would ask that you call on the good senator from Almost, Idaho.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 43 is all about opportunities and heritage and public access to great treasures. Question. Oh, excuse me. it is about the Guernsey State Park and putting together a series of land and access to a series of land. You have a handout on your desk that is going to look like a fact sheet for Senate File 43, and then on the inside there's a significant map. Draw your attention to that, and let's just go right to the handout. This is really about putting together a series of properties that is primarily under the jurisdiction of the Wyoming Military Department, and they've allowed access to it, and we already, when you look at this map, State Parks works with the Register Cliffs. They work with the ruts up in kind of in the middle at the historic trail stage route, and there's a fair amount of visitors, but what this acquisition will do to is link the whole piece together, starting with Register Cliffs, clear across that colored section of the map down to the left-hand side to Warm Springs. The land now is not used by the military. However, it is near some of their ranges. And so as you look on the information side of that sheet, they'll talk a little bit about some of the phasing that would take place with this transition over to the state parks. It's going to come in three phases, and they're color-coded on your map. But those three phases, phase one will include lands where there's no existing conditions to preclude transfer. Phase two will include some areas falling within current surface danger zones. And those phase two lands will be transferred when the surface danger zones have been fully mitigated. Phase three is lands owned by the Wyoming Military Department that are managed by a memorandum of understanding. And those are around some of the ranges or in some of the ricochet areas, they call it. But what that'll work with on the memorandum of understanding is appropriate access and development so that public safety is right at the top. And then phase four is a memorandum of understanding with the town of Guernsey and the state of Wyoming land, their land office. When you look at, back at the map and that colored map, you're going to see all kinds of red dots, and it gives you a sense of the richness of this piece of property, this series of pieces of property. And there's all kinds of opportunities to look and get a little more history, but not only of the Oregon Trail, but of early Wyoming and going right on back to some prehistoric sites. State parks, one of the questions we had in our committee was about funds and what it was going to cost. They have $20,000 already set aside, and that would go to the surveying, and that's described in the bill, all those parcels, the legal descriptions. But as far as additional cost, that was a topic of concern and challenge, and what we were told was the money, we're already managing some of those key sites down there. They anticipate they can manage this larger piece, it is 800 acres, with no additional funds or staff. And when challenged to how that could be, they said it's the type of property this is, it doesn't require a lot of improvements. The places that are high attention are already improved and accessible. And as far as further development and opportunities, when we talked about linking clear to the west onto the Warm Springs site, there was thought about inviting local concessionaires maybe to put together a concession to help develop that as needed, and then take possibly wagon rides or horse rides and link the thing together and let people see some interpretive rides. We talked about roads and access across there, and the military assured us that there are already existing dirt roads that are fully capable of handling what would be going on out there. Overall, the military department said while they own the land or it's under their authority, they don't use the land, and they're very careful about not using any of the land that have these historic treasures on them. And so they'd like to see the land move over to the states where it could be fully benefit this community and the state and the people. When we go down and back to your fact sheet, one of the high points about this really was also further expanding the opportunity to learn about the area and increase tourism. Get people to stay there and see what Wyoming has to offer and become part of that important linkage across our great nation with the Oregon Trail and the transfer from people moving out to the west and the development of this country. And so this all ties that back together also. Great opportunity. We've had great support. The people of Guernsey are excited about it, and State Parks believes they can put this together and finish it off with no additional funding required. So stand for questions.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of questions. First one is, I understand that they have the money in their budget. I'd just be curious where they got it in their budget and where they pulled it out of. And I'm sure it wasn't a reversion potential, but I'd like to know where they got the $20,000. The second thing, and I understand my colleague from Teton County's explanation about the cost, and are you talking about the cost for management because they have somebody over there supervising it, so that won't increase? But what about the maintenance of it? I just want to be sure that we don't see a supplemental budget request down the road that will ask for more money to take care of this. And the last thing, and I think is probably none, but is there any consequences to the tax roll in terms of taking this property off the tax roll?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, this move has been anticipated for a number of years, and so over the years, the State Parks has gathered the money from their enterprise fund, I believe, for the survey, the $20,000 for the survey. There are no new lands involved in this. These are all transfer from state-owned lands to state-owned lands. It's just a different agency. There's also no loss of taxes, no loss of property taxes at all in this. And I can't recall if there was another question there or not.
Senator Bebout.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the last question was, I understand that they'll be able to take care of the management of it with no additional people. Are there additional costs for maintenance that might come up?
Senator Burns.
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot that question. In the foreseeable future, the answer to that question is no. When I went and visited this area, I was frankly quite surprised at the development that was already there in terms of the The trail ruts themselves, there's already a gravel parking lot, there's already kiosks, there's already picnic areas, there's already paved pathways with railings and so forth. It's surprisingly developed. The same thing at Register Cliff. Those are the only two substantial archaeological things there right now. There is a lot of interest in the volunteer community about this with a lot of the small things, and I think that's one of the things they're hoping to do. The other large feature from the historical standpoint is Warm Springs, and frankly that's phase three right now as the military department is slightly altering their firing ranges a little bit, so that will not be available for quite a while. And as the good senator from Alta mentioned, they're looking at the idea of bringing in a concessionaire. The question was asked in committee about the road, which would be the major expense, and the roads are already there. So we don't anticipate any expense of any consequence anytime soon. This is within a stone's throw of Guernsey State Park, so the personnel are already there, and the substantial sites are already being managed.
Trying to get you. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, question for the sponsors on this. I appreciate this map. It does a good job of enumerating the historic acquisition areas and those things that we're going to acquire. I'm familiar with most of those, but there's one in particular I'd like some clarification on there. When it lists ranching historic artifacts, and was wondering what that is and also if any of the members of this body might qualify under that definition.
Further discussion. We'll go to Senator Bernard.
Just a few more facts regarding this land transfer. It was mentioned during the discussion that the County of Guernsey, the state-owned, the state property people, and the military all agree on this. They all look at it as a win-win situation. Those two present places that you can visit both bring in $500,000 a year. By adding this third one, they estimate bringing in another $500,000 a year. So this will bring in quite a bit of more revenue to those people. Also, the grazing leases that are here will stay in place, and the area there will still be open to hunting.
Senator Anderson.
President, Mr. President, I'll be brief again in that I'd just like to urge your support for this bill for all the reasons that have been given by the committee, and I'd like to compliment the committee in regard to the research and the articulate nature of their testimony. I will simply say when I first came into the legislature, this area was in my district. I became well acquainted with it then it went away for a time under the 10 years ago when we redistricted, and now I'm back again. And it's just absolutely dramatic in regard to the development and the growth that those folks have shown in their economic development efforts. And they are a very independent-minded community, and I tell you, I am so impressed with the efforts and the progress that they've made in regard to accentuating and highlighting their small community to the rest of the country. And they've already been spoken in regard to kind of the nexus, but with the Oregon Trail coming through there and with the proximity of Fort Laramie and with the lake and whatnot, they really have, I think, a well-thought plan in regard to how they can take this asset and develop it. And they are doing it. And they're doing it by themselves, and they're doing it voluntarily. And the spirit and the conduct of this community, I cannot compliment enough. So, again, without going on in great detail, I think this is a great idea. I would hope that we would go forth and help this small rural community in a county that's really struggling economically in order to help themselves. And so, with that, again, I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, speaking on and for, I'd like to follow up on one thing, the great senator from Douglas. One of the really neat things that State Parks talked about in this is a public partnership with the surrounding communities, and they're looking very strongly at using them for concessionaires and going on a new path for State Parks, which is supporting private business, working in conjunction with State Parks. And I think this is a great start down a really a great path, and this is a neat place to do it. They've got some resources that potentially could bloom into a really a good partnership for state parks down the road. So I really urge you to support it.
Senator Christensen.
Appreciate the committee support and all the additional information. Just for everyone's information, we'll have a small hard sign at the back outside the chambers. If people would like to look in further detail at the site themselves, if there's any doubt or they need to plan their vacations.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to stand up and correct something I had said to the body. I was talking about Warm Springs as being in Phase 3, and in fact it is in Phase 2. And so I don't want to mislead anybody along that about that. If you look in, right in the center of the map, that red area, that's Phase 3, because military department wants to hang on to that. That's where their obstacle course is, and they have no plans moving that in the foreseeable future. The only other final thing I'd like to say about it is if the state parks can acquire this land, we will be turning a couple of interesting sites along the Oregon Trail to possibly the site along the entire Oregon Trail for the United States. This will be this for cultural tourism. This will become a destination area.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 43 is passed the committee of the whole. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 44. The reading clerk will please read in the Senate file.
Senate File 44, First Responder Retirement Account Payment Rules, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Von Flatern?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it do so with a due pass on Senate File 44, First Responder Retirement Account Payment Rules, and to present this fine bill. Senator, I ask the chair to recognize Senator Cooper. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. My mistakes. Mr. Chair, would you recognize Senator Landon?
I sure will. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I really especially want to thank our good chair of Transportation and Military Affairs for giving me the opportunity to visit with you about Senate File 44. Senate File 44, colleagues, is a committee bill from this past interim, and it goes into and amends Chapter 11 under Title 19, Defense Forces. Under the Military Service Relief Act, Senate File 44 assists the military department in two ways. First, it draws down an account that this body established a handful of years ago to help meet the governor's budget reduction initiative. And then second, it authorizes on page 2 the Wyoming National Guard to promulgate rules in the event that this particular fund ever runs short of funding to qualifying service members and enables them to establish rules and regs so that they can disperse those funds in an equitable manner. The First Responder Retirement Account was established, you will remember, to pay retirement benefits for first responders who were called up to guard or ordered into federal service. And that is one of the many benefits that this body has seen fit to pass and to try to help our guard members. The account currently stands, fellow senators, at $1.5 million. To meet that 8% budget cut initiative directed by the governor, the department wishes to draw that account down by $667,000, and that would still leave an account balance of about $900,000. Given the current deployment levels, we believe that there's plenty of a balance there to sustain the program. Last year, $48,000
was paid out. The year before that, $36,000. I think that pretty much does it. If you'll look on page 2, that's really the guts of the bill. Again, we're allowing the department to promulgate some rules in the event that fund ever runs down to the point that they need to do so. So I'd be happy to stand for questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Von Fladen's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 44, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 44 has passed the committee of the whole. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 45. The reading clerk will please read in the Senate file.
Senate File 45, Restricted Driver's License and Modification, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Fladen, Senator Von Fladen, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Fladen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with a do pass on Senate file, whichever I just lost.
45.
45. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to present this bill, would you please, the Chair, recognize Senator Cooper?
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow Senators, this is the Senate File 45, Restricted Driver's License Modifications, and to some of you may recognize this is a hardship driver's license, and this is a license that young people and parents can apply for 14 to 16-year-olds, and there is a list of hardships that's listed in the statutes as to what qualifies as a hardship, and ultimate, of course, say on that becomes the Highway Patrol. And this bill was an interim transportation bill that was requested by the Wyoming Highway Patrol. We made just a couple of changes to the statute on this bill, and mainly it was to try to align the restricted driver's license up with what we now call the intermediate driver's license, which is your general permits that we give to young teenagers applying for a driver's license. And so there were some situations in there where these restricted driver's license had different qualifications than the intermediate, and we wanted to kind of align some of those up. One of the changes that we made was on page 2, if you look on line 6, we moved the hour of operation up for these restricted driver's license from 8 o'clock p.m. to 11 p.m. And the reason for that, patrol felt that there had been running into some problems because of school activities, and also some young people have after-school jobs where they work until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night sometimes, then have to drive home from there to their homes out on the ranch or whatever. And also with some school activities run a little later at night and just running into problems. And it just so happens that an intermediate driver's license, which is your basically your driver's permit type thing for young people, actually allows them to be out until 11 p.m. And this just brought it up to be in the same situation with that. The next change we made was on, you'll see on lines 8 and 9, where it says, the licensee shall not transport any passenger if operating a motorcycle. And this is the same requirement that's in the intermediate driver's license also, that if you can operate a motorcycle with a restricted driver's license, however, you cannot carry a passenger with you. And that's what the bill is all about, and from there I'll stand for questions.
We'll get you, Senator Case. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we don't mind, I'd like to learn a little bit more about these licenses. I don't know much about these licenses, but I know that if you've got a 14-year-old boy, he thinks he deserves one of these licenses, and it can be pretty rough around the household when they can kind of, when they really think they deserve that. And I'm trying to understand why we have these. I know that there's an agricultural piece to it, and I'd like to understand more about that. And I know there's a, sometimes it's about kids driving, you know, trucks between fields and stuff like that. But really, is this a good idea? And you know, if you have a situation, I hate to get kind of personal here, but you know, we have a lot of families where they're separated families, and the children can really use this as kind of a wedge, and it's a very important thing. There's nothing more important than getting that driver's license. And the way I look at it, my son driving was I wanted to actually get him to start driving as late as possible so that he had fewer years as a very young person operating a vehicle in the very dangerous realm where I'm from. Believe me, it's a bad situation. And he had a job on a farm, and he, you know, and his mother and I both have joint custody, and but he can work one or the other to try to get this to happen. And I'm just wondering why we really do this. And I'm not sure it's a good idea. And I know it's kind of a little bit off topic because you're just going from 8 to 11. But Mr. Chairman, if we don't think it's really a good idea for kids, why would we expand the time?
Senator Cooper.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, the statute itself is, of course, not in question here today. That's just the changes. But the statute itself has been in, I don't know when it goes back to, but it goes back many, many, many years. And if anyone has happened to be looking for the ways that you can receive one of the restricted licenses, if you look on 317117 in the statute itself, it's not in this on this copy of the bill. It lists all the ways that you can have what they call an extreme inconvenience is the way they put it. And there's a list of what an extreme inconvenience is and how you can get this. This is really under the control of the parent on how they operate and when they're able to operate with this license to begin with. So it's not the bill that's in question. It's just this thing. And we are changing it because there has been problems. There has been problems with some of these young people trying to get back to the ranch or to home at night when they're at a class activity that's in the evening or when they've been at work. And that's been an issue where the patrol wouldn't have brought this up, but that not been a problem.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to speak on and for and speak a little in explanation. As someone that's extensively used the hardship licenses, not only my children, but lots of others. I've hired literally dozens of kids on the hardship, and the application is extensive. It requires sign off not only by the parents, but also by the employer. And as you sign on as an employer, you accept some of that responsibility that these kids are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. If they're not, there's some pretty strict rules that go with it. And at least in our area, the sheriff's office does watch it pretty close. The kids are downtown dragging Maine with them. They pull them in, and they'll call you as an employer. And they're great for us. They allow us to use some young kids that otherwise wouldn't get ag experience and wouldn't get the other experience. I also am in favor of the later deal. It maybe ought to have some talking on how they go about doing it. But, you know, it's pretty often on our place that it's 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, and actually we've pushed it some bailing hay later with the kids. Done right, this license exemption allows great responsibility for kids. So I'd encourage you to not mess with the bill and to look strong and support.
Senator Anderson.
Just a little background. You'll remember from a long, long, long time ago, I had the privilege of being the sponsor of the graduated driver's license bill. And it was pretty contentious the time we brought this into statute. In fact, we lost it in the Senate by just a couple of votes when we first brought it. Of course, it came back later. But the portion of that that was so contentious was this rural concern in regard to these particular licenses that we're talking about this morning. Speaking in favor of this proposal, I just simply say this is a continued adjustment to what has been you know, a difficult time in order to shape this, to recognize a special class of students, of kids, so to speak. And the rural aspect of that is, has always been a concern. And there's other concerns, but I found through experience that those are quite often worked out by cooperation between the parent and the kind of the officer in charge to see if, in fact, terms and conditions are being met and they're, in fact, legitimate, so to speak. So, again, I'd just like to urge your support. I think it's just a fine-tuning of what I felt was originally a great bill. And I think, frankly, I think this bill has saved a lot of lives.
Senator Ruffus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just have a couple of questions that I'd look for a little bit of clarification on. With these restricted driver's licenses, I'm curious whether or not there's any limitations on the number of passengers that can be in the vehicle, as there are with graduated driver's license. I don't see that explicitly, and perhaps I'm just missing it. There is an amendment here to add that the licensee shall not transport any passenger if operating a motorcycle, but, you know, can they be driving a minivan full of other kids, or would that be similar to the restrictions on the graduated driver's license? The other question I would have is, are they allowed to drive on the interstate, or is this just on rural roads and slower speed limits, or are there no restrictions on what they can drive on?
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the questions from my colleague from Albany County, and points well taken. This bill does not come to you with the restrictions in place that exist at the intermediate level. That is just simply not the way the bill arrived here to this body. We do suggest the further restriction on motorcycles. I believe I speak for the Wyoming Highway Patrol in saying that they had requested that we mirror that intermediate bill a little bit more closely, which does have some restrictions at the 16-year-old age level for how many passengers can be carried in the automobile with that intermediate driver. This particular bill at this time does not have that restriction. I hope that clarifies.
Further discussion on the bill. Question on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Von Fladen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 45, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Senate File 45 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 46. The reading clerk will please read in the Senate file.
Senate File 46, Protecting Veteran Disability Compensation in Divorce, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, and Act Relating to Domestic Relations. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Landon, Schiffer, Von Fladen. No, Senator Escobel, Senator Von Fladen, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Von Fladen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass on Senate File 46. And to present this fine bill, I will call upon myself so I won't get it wrong this time. Okay. Senate File 46, which is, and I should have read the title to you, sir, is Protecting Veteran Disability Compensation and Divorce. And on your desk, you do have a handout that starts out. I didn't mark the bill number on it, but it says U.S. Supreme Court Mansell, 1989 decision. So in federal rules and regs, and ruled on by the Supreme Court in 1989, is the fact that you cannot use a veteran's disability pay during a divorce proceeding. So the other party, the non-military party, cannot reach into that and have the judge rule on whether that is to be considered in the large pot of property settlement. It is separate, is in federal code, and it's also been ruled on by the Supreme Court. What this, and a lot of judges, because divorces are state-run and handled by state courts, a lot of judges have are not familiar with it, or the attorney for the non-military spouse is working the issue where this is thrown into the bigger pot, or there's compensation for the fact that that spouse is receiving that disability pay, and therefore something else should be done to compensate the other spouse for that lack of funds. What this does is codifies it in our code, in our statutes, and by doing that, the judges will be more aware of it. And I thought, well, couldn't they appeal it? Property settlements are not reviewable. Child support is. And by the way, this does not affect child support. This money is thrown into that big pot when they're determining child support to be paid. This is considered. It's only in the property settlement that it should not be considered under federal code, and now if this bill passes, under our own statutes. So that is the big change. It is reviewable. It is not reviewable. So if they do get it, the judge does consider it, the veteran military person does not have any appeal process to have that once again removed from the settlement of the property value. So I ask for your favorable consideration of that. I did drop off the Supreme Court ruling that you do have on your desk, and I stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Von Flanagan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 46, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 46 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We've worked ourselves out of a job, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Okay. Messages from the House and reports from Senate committees. Okay. The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 33, do pass amended. Senate File 41, do pass amended. Senate File 43, do pass. Senate File 44, do pass. Senate File 45, do pass, and Senate File 46, do pass. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried, and the report has been adopted. We have messages from the House.
January the 11th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 5. Mr. President, this is to inform you that the House has amended the House rules of the 62nd Wyoming State Legislature with the following amendments. We'll not read the amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 11th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 20, State Land Transaction, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks. No, Senator Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 11th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 14, Correctional Industries, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, and Schiffer. No, Senators Hicks, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I know it. I'm waiting for him. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the... Thank you. I move that we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. on Monday, January 14, 2013.
Any announcements? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number two appropriations will meet in 30 minutes in the Senate Appropriations Committee Room S-13 to discuss the following referrals: Senate File 40, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership, and Senate File 104, Education State Administration.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, Committee Number 9, Minerals, will meet, it will probably be approximately 30 minutes, and we'll take up Senate File 22, Uniform Consumer Credit Codes Amendment, Senate File 26, Authorization for Certain Radioactive Waste Facilities, and Senate File 52, Natural Gas State Vehicle. Also, Mr. President, on Monday, we'll meet at the noon recess and take up Senate File 2, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission filing, Senate File 27, Limited Mining Operations, and Senate File 28, Preference Provisions.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet at 8 a.m. Monday in the normal committee room. The only bill we're going to work on is going to be Senate File 60, the Medicaid reform bill. We may or may not finish that bill on Monday. The Medicaid fraud bill is laid back until Wednesday.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation Military Affairs, will meet on Monday, 10 minutes after adjournment, in S-14 to consider Senate File 51, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Act Compliance, Senate File 78, Active Duty Medical Cost Reimbursement Program Amendments, and Senate File 74, Professional Licensing Military Spouses.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet at 8 a.m. Monday, January 14th, in room S-1, to take up Senate File 67, Wiretap Authorization, Senate File 9, Private Transfer Fees, Senate File 34, Law Enforcement Academy Director Duties, and Senate File 50, if we get time, which covers strip searches.
Any further announcements? Senator Bebout.
Hey, Mr. President, I forgot to mention that your Appropriations Committee number 2 will continue our budget hearings next week. We will start at 9 o'clock on Monday for the district attorneys. Just a heads up for the Senate, hopefully by Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll be doing our callbacks, and we will start our markups Thursday and Friday, and hopefully be done Friday. We'll see how it goes.
Members of the Senate, you've heard the motion. We stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Monday morning. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried. We're adjourned until 10 a.m. Monday.